Good morning. We are beginning.
I want to give you credit. The class is getting bigger and bigger.
Oh my goodness.
I'm
going to be killing more trees, making more copies. That's great. Excellent. Spread the word. Spread the word. Perichov Gimel. We're up to the 23rd chapter. Okay, page 148, Perichov Gimel. So we're up to a new perich. We were discussing up until this point the previous chapters, one of the darkest chapters of all of the books of prophets, discussing the tragic butchering, the murder of the city of Nov, Kohanim, by a person by the name of Doeg, who had Domi, who was very well listening to the king, but at the same time have no problem whatsoever taking away the lives of innocent people. Perichov Gimel, we still see David running for his life. And on the second page of our packet, we're going to be have a map which is going to show the next place he is running to. Now, as we're about to see in this first pasuk, pasuk Aleph, a person who is trying to preserve their life, that should be the most important thing. There's nothing else which is more important than my life. And I have there's a guy who is a king wants to kill me. Well, I'm just going to do whatever I can to save my life. If other problems happen in the meantime to other people, that's their problem. But we see that David was not like that. V'yagidu l'David l'emor. It was made known to David, hine plishtim nilchamim bekilo. The plishtim, the Philistines, the plishtim who he defeated Goliath, was among the plishtim who he tricked to giving the impression that he was mentally incompetent. We now again see the Philistines wishing to nilchamim, sounds like doing war. We're going to see that really was not their intention, but it was Bekila, in this place called Kila, and on our map you can see it's almost in the center of the map, this place. Behema shows him as Hagranos. There is shows him the granos, the granaries, shows him, as is translated in Masuda Sion, is Bozazin. They were plundering all of the crops, the grains of the Jewish people that lived in the city, of Keilah. So, who cares? Why should it bother him so much? After all, he's just one man. Okay, he has like 400 or so people with him. That's it. Why should he be so bothered about what's happening in another place? In fact, if you look on this map, you can see he's not living in Keilah. But yeah, for some reason, he's going to travel there to help them and to protect them. We're going to get to that in a second. We're also going to see what was so special about this particular place at Keilah. After all, it seems to be just in the middle of the land. It's in the middle of our map. So why was it such an important place for the Philistines to want to capture? We're going to get to that in a second.
Can I just ask you this?
Yeah.
It's very far from Nob. It looks very far.
Right.
After the massacre at Nob?
Yeah, no, he was at Nob and then he traveled south.
To Keilah.
Before he went there, he was actually, you can see where there's an arrow toward the very bottom near the Dead Sea. From Nov, he traveled south, and that's where he currently is, but then eventually he travels upward. So he's all over the place. Right. David is literally running all around the country.
And this is after the massacre.
This is after the massacre, right. So part of it, we're maybe going to see, that once Nov was destroyed, and David took some responsibility, as we saw at the end of last chapter, he felt that he was responsible for their deaths, because if he didn't go there, then the king would never have killed them. The king felt that the Kohen and the leaders of Nov were trying to protect him. They gave him food, gave him swords, weapons. So he felt that he had responsibility to protect people and to not hurt people. So it's possible that we're going to now see that David is going to respond to the people of Keilah, because maybe he feels guilty that he already had one other city that was destroyed. So maybe he wants to fix up his mistake by saving people in the process.
But now he's saving them from the Plishtim, not from Shaul.
Correct.
Now where is Shaul now?
We're going to see that Shaul is still just busy chasing. And some actually explain that this is, the question is, why the Plishtim coming now? If it's such a great city to conquer, why are they trying to conquer it today and not a year back, 10 years before? So some explain that the Plishtim did it strategically. They knew that the king was preoccupied. He was preoccupied worrying about killing David. So he had his whole army, a bunch of people, all of his military chasing after David. And therefore, what ended up happening is all these other little cities were left unprotected, which makes it much more vulnerable to attack. So some explain that that's precisely the reason why the Plishtim attacked this city at this time, because Shaul's mind and army were elsewhere, and therefore they were vulnerable to attack. So that's how some people explain it. Which, if you explain it that way, you can even, again, understand David's responsibility that he accepts upon himself. Because he says, well, since I'm being chased by the king, what ends up happening? All these other people, innocent civilians who are generally protected by the army, now they're not protected because of me. So he again will accept a responsibility, even though it's not really his responsibility. The king is wrong for chasing him in the first place. But David feels that because the king is chasing me and now all these other cities are vulnerable, I have a responsibility to protect them because no one else will. Okay. But the next pasuk will shed more light into this story. But Yishal David Bashem, Lamor. So David turned to Hashem, and we're going to see what did he do. He prayed to him. Did he use some type of mechanism like the Urim Batumim? How did he get them? If he had them, how did he get them? We'll see that later on in this parak. Regardless, David turns to Hashem and said, "Ha'elech v'hikasi b'plishtim o'elech. Should I go and should I smite these Philistines? Should I go and fight them?" Apparently, it seems to be obvious because they're trying to kill another Jew. Maybe he should protect another Jew. What's the whole question? We'll get to that in a second. But Yomer Hashem el David, so Hashem said, "Lech, go, b'kisa b'plishtim, and smite and wage war against the Philistines. Boshata es ke'ilah, and by doing so, you will have protected and saved the city ke'ilah." So again, you can ask, why exactly was David asking Hashem this question? It seems to be obvious. If a Jewish person is in danger, let's say a Jewish person is in captivity, we have a mitzvah of being redeeming such a person, regardless of whatever it entails. We will spend all the money to be able to free a Jew from captivity. So too, if a Jewish person's life is in danger, you do whatever it takes to save them. So what is David asking God? It sounds like David himself has the means of saving this nation, this Jewish city, against the Plishtim. So if that's the case, so why would he ask this? It should be obvious that, of course, he should defend and protect these people. So it's brought down in the Talmud in Erechin as follows. It's not here, it's just two lines. It says as follows. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, "Necharim shetzaru al iros Yisrael ubiir hasmuch l'safer," that when it comes to a city which is occupied by the Jewish people, and it's considered to be a bordering city, afilu bo al iski nefashos, even if the enemies that come toward it, their primary purpose is not to kill the people, el al iski tevin v'kash, they're only interested in stealing from us some straw, some grain, some food. Even if it's Shabbos, which the commentators explain it was that day, and even though they're not really coming to kill anyone in this city, nonetheless, you're allowed to fight them. And it's brought down that this is really the question that David was asking. David was wondering, listen, they're not coming to kill the Jewish people. How do you know they're not coming to kill the Jewish people? That's what the first pasuk says. The pasuk said, "Vehema shosim es hagranos." They're coming to plunder, to steal, to take away from all of our crops, from our granaries. Which implies, if they're coming to kill, then the pasuk would have said they're coming to kill. It sounds like they weren't coming to kill the Jewish people. However, we allow you to defend these people, and even kill the Philistines. Why? Why wouldn't we be allowed to do it? It's because of not what they're doing today, but it's the potential of tomorrow. Because it's a bordering city, a city in which is a strategic place that a person should occupy, that once the Philistines would capture it, even though they didn't kill anyone in that city, then they would be able to bring their entire army up to it and to be able to much easier attack other neighboring Jewish cities. And therefore, even though their initial intention was only to take our food and not to kill us, nonetheless, a person is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos and even to wage war and kill those people. So is the answer that God was giving to David himself. Okay, let's continue with the next Pasuk, Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel tells us, V'yomru Anshe David Elav. So the men of David, there weren't many with them, but nonetheless there were a few that decided for various reasons to be with David, because they felt protected. The cities that they were in, they were wanted. They owed a lot of money. Hine anachnu po b'Yehuda yireim. Here we are. We're in this place called Yehuda, and we're afraid. We're afraid of our lives currently. Why are we afraid? Because we're hanging out with you. We're hanging out with you. You're not going to kill us. But the problem is that Shaul is trying to kill you. And if he knows that I'm friendly with you, look what he did to the city of Nov. So we're already petrified as is, that we have one enemy. The enemy who happens to be a king, King Shaul. So now what? The af ki nelech ki'ila. Now that you want us to go and wage war against the Philistines and to protect the Jewish people in the city, El Marachos Plishtim, to go up against and to fight the Philistines, what's going to end up happening? Instead of just having one enemy, we're going to create more enemies. We're going to be much more afraid than we ever were. If we look over here in the Masudah Sion helps us out with two things. We Afki, who inyan kol shekein v'kavachomer, which is all the more so, we're going to be, our lives are going to be in danger, much more petrified, and our lives will be in much more danger because you want us to wage war against the Philistines? You crazy? We're just a few people. And because of this, we'll have nowhere to run to, nowhere to hide. David also had this problem. David had the Philistines as his enemy. David had Shaul as his enemy. And he had no choice. He ran into the city of Gath, which is a little bit northwest of Keilah. And the only way he was spared is because they thought he was crazy. They didn't even know who he was. They didn't think he was David. But a whole group of people where there's nowhere to run anymore. So what's going to end up happening? So we're not going to join you. This is crazy. This is suicide. We continue with Masudah Sion. The Ma'arachos, which comes from the word aruch, from like shulchan aruch. Aruch generally means something which is set, like a set table. Marachos also has something to do with the army, that it's marachos. Anshei hamelchama yikru kein. This is what we call the legions, the people who are engaged in fighting. Why? Kishehem aruchim v'sedurim lehilachim. Because it's all about creating lines to be able to defeat on the battlefield. The person has to be very careful that when you have all of your men lined up, they have to be in very straight lines so that the enemies do not penetrate deeper into your army. And therefore, that's the reason why it's called Marachos, because it's all similar to like Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch, the halachic sefer, which is all organized and set. Also on Pesach night, when we call Shulchan Aruch, that the table is set and everything's perfect, the fork is there, the knife is there, so too when it comes to the army, everything's Marachos. Everything is in line, and properly set up. So anyway, that's what they said. I mean, I know that you mentioned that God told you this, but how about a second opinion? And that's what we're going to see now. Pasuk Dal tells us, "V'Yosef owed David." David continued lishol b'Hashem. Again, he asked Hashem, are you sure this is what you want us to do? Are you sure you want us to make more enemies? That doesn't seem right. But once again, the Aneo Hashem and Hashem answered to the army, said, Kum, raid, Keilah, go down to the city. Ki'ani nosen es ha-plishtim yodecha. Don't be so worried. I will make sure that the plishtim are in your hands. I will make sure that you defeat them. And the Masudas David over here tells us the reason why Yosef, why does he ask again? Bichdei, l'amitz lev anashav sh'al shuv. That the reason why I'll show that he asked a second time was in order to strengthen the hearts of the people around him. He, David, had no doubt. David himself would have gone right away. But in order to be able to show all of his other people around him that this was 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt what God wants you to do, he decided to ask Hashem again so that everyone would understand that this is the mission that you also must join me in. Pasuk Hey. Vayelech David va'anoshav Ki'il. So David went, va'anoshav and the men, he went to Ki'il v'yelochim b'plishtim and he waged war against them. Vayinhag es miknehem, vayinhag es miknehem, and he was able to gather and take all of their animals and their livestock and cattle. V'yachmehem maki gudol, he hit them a great hitting. V'yosha David es yoshvi Ki'il. And David was able to cause the people of Keilah, the inhabitants of Keilah, to be saved. He saved the lives of the entire city. Now, there's a couple things that we have to point out. One is that we always do, that you'll notice that the way it's written is not the way it's read.
Va'anashav. So,
right, so if you look on page 149 in the English, it brings down the words of the Kliyakar, which we underline in the five. It says, David and his men, plural went. The word Vanashev and his men is pronounced and therefore translated in the plural. But it's spelled, right, which is his man, singular, which implies that instead of taking his entire fighting force, David picked only his best men to defend Keilah. Which means, even though he had a very small army to begin with, when it comes to the Jewish people defending and fighting a war, it's not based on physical force, it's not about numbers. Because we know that by the story in Hanukkah, Rabban Ban Batim, Tmeim Ban Tahorim, Chaloshim Ban Giborim, Giborim Ban Chaloshim. We were strong. We were not stronger than they were. Not mightier or bigger than they were. We were less. We were weaker. But we had God on our side. And just as long as we have the spiritual connection to Hashem, Hashem will cause us to be victorious. And of course, Hashem told him to go and fight, and you'll be victorious. So therefore, he didn't want huge amounts of people, but he wanted a select few, the people that he knew would. Were righteous and would be successful in war.
Does Hashem appear to David in a dream? Was that the method?
Well, in this case, he turns to Hashem in some way. We're going to see how that's done. We're going to see how that's done. Apparently, it sounds like he's just davening to him, and he's. But we're going to end up seeing.
How does Hashem?
Right, so it certainly is not as intense as with the relationship with Moshe Rabbeinu. Some explain, as we're going to see in Pasuk Vav, which will be the next Pasuk, I was hoping to get there without you forcing me to answer that question, but since you did, we're going to end up seeing that Vayishol Hashem could mean that somehow he had the ephod, he had the garments of the high priest, because if we remember, as we're going to see pretty soon, there was a person by the name of Eviasar, which will be in Pasuk Vav, who happened to be the one person who somehow Yasar was extra that remained, that survived from Nov Irin Kohanim. And we're going to end up seeing in a moment the Radak that he brought along these tools, these instruments, to be able to make this collect call, or this long distance call, I should say, to God.
Writing.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's done that way certainly for a reason. I mean, when the pasuk that we pasuk hay doesn't really have any break, which is the one we're doing. Like pasuk dalet, for example, it says that David asked Hashem, and then there was a break, and then he answered, which sounds maybe there was some type of there was some delay of some sort, right? Like we find on primetime television.
Some of the delays are, the breaks are smaller, and some are bigger, and some are much bigger.
Yeah, there's certainly significance to each one of them, and the reason why it's at that length, and yeah, there certainly is. So we can certainly focus on that and think about the reasons for them. Okay, so that was one part of Pasuk Hey, that the reason why it's written singular, even though we say plural, is because he really did not take all of his men. He really singled out the people that he took. He didn't take a lot of soldiers to be able to defeat the Plishtim in the city of Keilah. And Keilah is a Jewish city, which was a bordering Jewish city in which the Philistines wanted to capture. We look also, the Radak tells us something else. We look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk has there's something difficult in the reading of the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us, what did he do? So he gathered these people, and he waged war against the Plishtim, which means you can imagine he's punching, kicking, whatever they do in war, haven't been there. And then afterwards it says, V'yinhag es miknehem. Then all of a sudden he goes, okay, time out, I'm going to gather up all your cows and horses and all your little animals and sheep. And then it says, V'yach mehem makagdol. Okay, time in, so let me now kill you. It's strange. You would think normally what happens is you're fighting, you kill the guy, and it's like, oh, cool, you have a sheep. I think I'll take that for myself now. But it's, for some reason, it's thrown in there, V'yinhag es miknehem. Okay? So that's a question the Radak asks. We're going to see now. Why does it say that before he killed them, he was busy collecting their animals, their livestock? Why would he be busy worrying about that? There's more important fish to fry, such as killing the Philistines. So
I thought he meant by Yah for him, I thought he killed all the animals.
Oh. Oh, interesting. I mean, we don't find, certainly in this instance, that the Plishtim, you have to take their animals and destroy them. He himself was... What's that, Vayinhag? It's implied that he was leading them, he's taking them for himself. But then you're saying maybe he took them for himself, and then he said, all right, let's have a bloodbath and slaughter all these animals. When it comes to some of the, like, for example, Molech, everything. We don't find that by the Plishtim. So it's kind of, it would be difficult to understand why he would do that when, in fact, there's nothing wrong with keeping them yourself. After all, those are the plunders of the of war.
Is it possible that they took it from Shekeilah?
Why would they want to do that? These are innocent Jewish people. Why would he steal it?
Ah! Plishtim to begin with.
Very good. So maybe what he did, that's possible. Because after all, the Pasuk says that they were stealing all their things. So I mean, he was retrieving it back for them. That's very possible. But again, the question is, why is he busy doing that now before he kills them? You would think you would first wage your war, kill them, and after you've won the war, then vayinhag es miknehem. Why is it vayinhag es miknehem, then vayach mehem makah gadol? That's an additional question. It's certainly possible that the cattle belong to those people. You know, it's very possible. Because, after all, the Philistines, as you can see in this map, travel to Keilah. Why would the Philistines bring their little cows and sheep to Keilah? They had their own little farms west of it. They probably went to Keilah, took and stole a bunch of stuff, including all the livestock. And David now is collecting it back. But the question is, why is he collecting it? But Yinhag es miknehem first, he should be killing them first, and then only afterwards worry about the animals. Okay, so the Radak tells us as follows. The Radak says, first wide line, Yinhag es miknehem. Ach hayu miknehem b'mulchama. He says, how is it possible? You had a bunch of sheep hanging out in the war? Right? What's going on over here? Why would you bring, you know, Mary brought her lamp to school, but you're not going to bring it to war. It doesn't make any sense. Ella, what does it mean? Kishahika David mehem maka gadola. David was in the city, and he was doing a great job, killing all the Philistines. But once they saw that David was winning, David and his small army were defeating the Philistines, what did they do? They're not going to stick around and take their chances. They're going to tail out of there. They're going to run out of there. They're going to save their own life. Radav Achrei Hanis Mehem. They ran away, but David didn't just allow them to run away, because what's going to happen? They're going to run away, regather their forces, and do it again. So David, after killing the Philistines in the city, he started pursuing them, those who were running. He was running after them, the soldiers, Ad Eretz Plishtim. That David not only was able to defeat them in Keilah, but he actually went into the Philistine cities and chased after these people, and then Vinagas McNahem, and he was then able to lead their cattle. So what exactly, how does this answer this question? So there's a couple ways you can understand what the Radak is saying. V'ilachim b'plishtim, he was fighting against the Philistines. V'yinhag es miknehim could mean that the animals that were left in Keilah, in the city, he gathered up for them. But he didn't just stop there, but he chased after them, v'yachmeh makadola, even in their own cities, he went after them, pursued them, and smote them in those cities as well. That's one way that it's this question is answered by the Radak. Pasuk Vav. Okay. Pasuk Vav. Vayhi bivroach Evyasar. Here's the Evyasar guy. Evyasar ben Achimelech, who was the son of Achimelech, who was the king of who was the Kohen of Nov, Ir HaKohanim, who was brutally killed by Doeg because of the instructions that King Shaul gave him, that Achimelech was disloyal, that he was supportive of David. So Abiasar went to David. He was the only one that remained. He was also going to be killed if he stayed around in Nob. There's no other Kohanim left. So when Abiasar ran El David, Keilah, he ran after him, and he went to Keilah, even though we already saw that he was with him before. It means that Abiasar didn't just hide. He joined David throughout the whole process. Ephod Yorad Biyado. He also brought the ephod with him. The special apron, which was one of the four of the eight specific special garments in which the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, wore. So what's so unique that we need to know about this ephod business? Why do we need to know? Maybe he was wearing Reeboks also. Why do we need to know what type of robe he was wearing? So we look over here in the Radak. The Radak in Pasuk Vav tells us as follows. The part which is underlined. The Alpha P, the third wide line. Even though Shaharidu, that he went down, Loharidu Medaito, even though he did bring the ephod and all these other garments of the high priest with him, he didn't do it intentionally. Abu Kishalakach Kalev Imo Bibracho, when he took all of his belongings when he was running, literally for his life, if he stayed around and started packing his DVD player and everything else, he probably would have been killed. So therefore he just grabbed whatever he was able to grab quickly. Lo hishkiach malakach. He didn't really pay much attention to what he took. Umahaniach, or what he left. Ka'adam barech, just like any person who would be running. Just grab whatever you can grab in 3 seconds, fill up your hands, and just run right out of your town, right out of your house. Right. Apparently, the reason why the ephod, according to the Radak, the reason why he took the ephod was not because it was one of the most important items. It was just because it was the first thing he grabbed.
How did he know?
It has to do. We'll answer that in a second. We'll answer that in a second. Let me just finish the part which is underlined, then we have to go back to the beginning of that Radak, which will answer that question, which I did not underline. Bahaisa Siba Me'es Hashem, from these garments, he turned to Hashem, via Epod B'derech Mikra Ben Caleb. So this was among his garments that he just happened to have brought. So we're going to see the Radak, the same Radak, but the part which I didn't underline, but that the I didn't underline it. But now that we ask the question, Radak will answer the question. How do we know that he just grabbed it? Maybe he did it intentionally. So the Radak says, so we have to just go up 2 lines, Perusho oso kamo harid. Just, it's the explanation is harid, that he, it went down with him, which he brought it. V'chein targum yonasan achiz v'ani mafarsho. This is the part which we need to see. And I explain, bodeg kemishpato, Ba'omer Yarad, Ve'omer Yarad, it says Yarad, Kalomer Yarad Ephod, Bederech Mikra Biyad. The language of Yarad, which doesn't really help, the translation of it in English doesn't help, just he brought it with him, it went down with him. The fact that they use that particular language, the Yarad, it just means it was Bederech Mikra, it was just by chance, Biyad. He just happened to grab it within his hands. So, based on the language of Yarad, the Radak sees that it must be that he didn't really plan this, it just happens to be that way. So,
from Nov to where he is now,
he's not with it. It's down.
It's down. Yeah, down south.
He brought it down with him.
Yes.
Right. South, right. That's true. Very good. So anyway, that's how the Radak sees that based on the language of the pasuk. And this one, I was.
Yorad is not a good
word. Yorad.
It's never good to go down. Oh. Better, right?
So, but that's how he was doing it for preserve his life.
If your Torah didn't go with David, he just met him there in Keilah.
And he did not meet him in Keilah. We saw in the previous parak. That he somehow came across David and he met him. That's what the parak ended saying. Because I'm wanted dead or alive, now you're wanted dead or alive, let's stay together. And if you can actually see on the top of page 148, which is the very end, the pasuk ends off saying, Shiva iti, stay with me, al tira, don't be afraid, ki asher yivakish esnafshi, yivakish esnafshecha, he wants to kill you, he wants to kill me, ki mishmer esnafshi modi, you're safe with me. So at that point they stuck together, and then now this new parak of Ki'ilah, this whole episode transpires, now he's joining him in that process as well. We look at the Mesudas David, similar to the words of the Radak, but spells a little bit more, Eifad Yoran Lefish Nemu Lamala, because it's said previously in the second pasuk, V'yishal David b'Hashem. So, what does it mean? How did he ask to Hashem? What did he do? It's a good question, whoever asked it. That's Mesudas David's question. Was that Omar? This is why the pasuk is saying, Shebiyasar Hevi Imo Pe'efod Uvot Sha'al. That he brought with him all the garments of the high priest, the Ormatumim, the whole shebang, and it was with these items that light up and answer one's questions, that is how he was able to ask Hashem.
But therefore, if the Kohen is not wearing it.
But if Yasar was a Kohen, he was the son of the Kohen. So everyone else was dead. He was the one who was Yasar.
But to say that he asked the ephod, not the Kohen Gadol who's wearing the ephod, is.
Well, I mean, it's not the. We need the Kohen.
Maybe he asked.
Right. He had to ask. It had to have been worn, and just like it's normally worn, but it wasn't the. It's not the Kohen. It's asking through Hashem. The Kohen is just the vehicle for the whole process to work. So the Urim and Tumim were lit up, as we're going to see. Some other questions he's going to ask it in a moment, but that's apparently how he asked. V'yishal Hashem, of how he was able to ask God whether or not he should fight this war and protect the city and the Jewish people in the city of Keilah. Alright.
He brought it so that the Kohanim could be reestablished.
But again, if you.
That's not by accident. That's not.
Right.
That's purposely.
Right. Purposely. So that they can start.
So to say, yeah, oh, good, it's making it as if it was not purposely,
right. Yeah. Right.
Is related. There's something wrong with it.
Right. But not, you know, that's the opinion of the Radak, but certainly there's, you know, room to say that it was done on purpose. You'd have to work on the wording of the pasuk, but it was done on purpose, which seems to be the logical thing, in order to preserve. All the items of the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol. So, certainly, that certainly is a very acceptable interpretation as well. Let's move on to the next pasuk, Zion. Okay, so we have this guy Eviasar who has the garments and the mechanism and the items to be able to turn to ask questions to Hashem and get answers. But you, God, was Shaul, and was asked. To Shaul, Kibad David, was told to Shaul, rather, Kibad David Ki'ilah, that David is now in the city Ki'ilah. So we were asking the question, where is Shaul? Shaul is busy trying to figure out where David is. David is defending all the Jewish people. Shaul, on the other hand, all he's trying to do is kill David. He now finds out, because it's in every single newspaper, it's in 10 o'clock news, that the city was protected by David, so obviously that where is David? He must be right there. But Yomer Shaul, so Shaul said, "Nichar also Elkim biyadi." Nichar, Masuda Sion says, "Masar," that Hashem gave David over biyadi to my hands. Kiniskar lavo, because it's closed up. Be'ir delosayim v'riach, with doors and gates and bars. This city is a well-fortified city, and therefore he is mine. So you can say, what does that mean? That makes absolutely no sense. In a place where you're just sitting in the middle of the field, where there's absolutely nothing to protect David, that's the time I'm able to defeat him. If he's locked in a very safe city, where there's huge fences, huge walls, fortified walls. So what does it mean that that's the reason why I'll be able to get him? Doesn't make any sense. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says as follows, the very bottom of the Rashi's, the last two lines. I know that David, who was running, if he's in a cave out of 10 million caves, it's impossible for me to figure out where he is. But if he looks at this city and says, you know what, this is a great city, I'm going to stay here for my whole life, I have bitachon, I have faith that this city will protect me, then what's David going to make? A huge mistake. Because how long is he going to stay in there? And how hard is it going to be to eventually break down those walls and to be able to get you? He's no longer going to be afraid that I need to run away. He's not going to run and hide anymore. Because after all, he's going to be in this safe, so to speak, safe city. That's the reason why he's going to be mine. That's why Hashem is going to give him, because he's going to trick himself to believe that these fortified cities are really for their best interest, that they're really protective, and they're so strong and great. That's exactly the time I'm going to be able to get you. And in fact, this is similar to this concept, which seems to be the opposite logic of in Parsha Shlach. We know when it came to the 12 spies, the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu asked a question. I want you to go to this country, in Canaan, in Israel, and I want you to check out their cities. Are they fortified cities, or are there cities with open cities without any walls? And Rashi over there says something amazing. Rashi says that in the event that they're fortified cities, they're easy to attack. If they're open cities, then we're in big trouble. So you say, well, that makes no sense. If it's an open city, then we can just run right over them. Fortified city, they can stand up there, shoot arrows, pour boiling hot tar over us. Who knows? Why is that better that they are in a fortified city? So Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu's logic, similar to this, is that if it's a fortified city, what does that show about the people in that city? Shows that they're weak, they're afraid, that they have to rely on their walls. They have the bitachon, just as Shaul considered, the David would have this still faith in the walls. The truth is, all they have to do is break down those walls, and we'll be able to defeat them with ease. If there's no walls, Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking, what does that mean? It means that they realize that we're strong, we're powerful, we don't need walls. Come and try to attack us, we'll destroy you. The same idea over here, that Shaul realized that when David was just running around, it was impossible to find him. I mean, it's a huge country. Where is he? He could be anywhere, hiding behind a rock, in a cave, in a field. But once he's in a fortified city, even though it may be a little bit difficult to get to him, I know he's there, and eventually I will be able to do the great act that God wants me to do. How do I know God wants me to do it? That's what Shaul is actually saying in this pasuk. That Shaul said, Nikar Oso Kimbiadi, God has finally given him to my hands. He honestly believes that he is doing the right thing, that David deserves to die, and that Hashem is now going to be helping me by letting me have him sentenced to death, by having him killed. Okay, pause the class. Right.
And here in Pasuk Bav it says by you got the shovel.
It was called him offhand, maybe, you know. It just came to him.
So in other words it's
plural and one is singular. Like
Shoal, right, go ahead. Shoal. People for some reason didn't really believe that Shoal was right. A lot of people in their heart of hearts realize that David did absolutely nothing wrong. He was a great man, a great soldier, defending his country. And it seems like a lot of people wanted to protect him. But when it came to Shaul, there was one or two guys
just talk to him.
Right. So, right, very good. Very good point. Pasuches. Pasuches. V'yishama shol es kol amu milchama. V'yishama, over here on top of page 150, it's translated by Masudas Sion as Indian Asifa, gathering, haba mishmias kol, that when you raise your voice, and you, that's a way that you'd be able to gather everyone together, unified as one group. So he called out in a way that all of his army, his great army, should gather together as one unified strong force to go to war. Just to kill one guy, to kill David. I guess Abiasar now, two guys.
He's making it clear that he's going. He did not call his people, he did not call his army to go to save his people.
Right.
But he's calling his army to go get someone who was his
invite. Right. To go kill a man who just saved a whole city of Jews. Which again could maybe explain why, how many people are really agreeing with him. One, two, people are not necessarily agreeing with him. Of course, what choice do you have? If you speak out against him, that'll be the last words that you'll ever say. So the pasuk continues, it says, Loredes Keila, that he gathered this huge army now to go to Keila, not when they needed them, really needed them, but now after the Philistines have been defeated, all right, now let's go to Keila, Vatsur El David Vel Nashav, to go and fight a war against this terrible, terrible man, David, and all the men that are with him. Okay. Continue with pasuk Tes, Vayeda David Ki Olav Shaul Macharish Hara. So David realized, he now knew that Shaul was out to do something bad. He was Macharish. Comes with Cheresh, is someone who's deaf. Macharish means that a person who's he's silent, he's quiet. Which, if you look at the Radak over here, Macharish Hara is Inyanu Choshev. Means he was thinking. Kamo Al Tacharish Al Reach Hara. A person shouldn't think anything bad about his friend. But the point is that that's how the Radak translates this pasuk. So let's see it again. V'yeda David now knew ki alav Shaul Macharish Hara. Pasuk test says that now he realized that Shaul was thinking bad about him. V'yomer El Elviasar. He's not. He's also saying bad things about him. Yomer El Aviyasar coming, so he turned to Aviyasar. Hagisha ha'efod. Please come close to the ephod. So again, now we see, it's not just the ephod. It's not just some things hanging up on a wall. He needs Aviyasar to be the Kohen. That's why, right, before that, when we mentioned Aviyasar before in this pasuk, what was his name? Aviyasar ben Achimelech. Here, he's called Aviyasar HaKohen. So he's pointing out, I need you now to act as a Kohen.
That's the proper way of doing it.
Right. So that's the idea.
Shaul isn't there yet, is he?
No.
So the question is, how does David know?
Are you kidding? David is running away. He knows who's running from. He knows who's running from. He knows that Shaul is after him. He knows he's in a close city.
Right. You can say that certainly that people somehow gave him the news. It's also possible that he would realize that why is David hiding in a cave? Because he doesn't want to live a huge high profile. People are going to end up seeing him. But if you do something such as going out to a war, in which everyone knows you just fought a huge war, so obviously people are going to find out about it. People are going to know where I am. So therefore, that's another interpretation. Where is that? Hevin midato. Right. That was going to be the next. He knew that he was being chased, and now it's going to be very obvious that he's going to be pursued. So therefore, he turns to Aviyasar the Kohen and says, "I need for you to help me out to go. We're going to look in the Urim Tumim, the Ephod. We're going to ask some very, very compelling questions, very fascinating questions. He's going to be asking, and we're going to be seeing. Interestingly enough, even though he gets two questions, he does not get two answers. And the reason for that, we'll see next week."